So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Kris Jenner is an absolute brilliant PR marketing individual. She must be so jazzed that Bruce Jenner is getting the Kardashian and Jenner name in the news in another way. Because, I mean, she's brilliant. She perpetually feeds the media stories about her daughters, perpetually keeps them relevant. For example, Kim Kardashian isn't even divorced yet. And yet, Kris Jenner's already planting stories about how she has droves of suitors from royal to musicians to sports athletes already pursuing Kim. Yet Kim's busy raising her kids, and Kim's busy still being married, by the way. She's not divorced yet. And so here's the new one. Have you heard this one? This is breaking news today. I woke up to this. Bruce Jenner is running for California governor. Okay, we're going to just come back on that because I have a lot to say about this and I want to hear from you. Especially, come on, California, let me know. What do you think about this? Is this laughable? Are you excited? The number is 1-888-914-9149. And you tell me, what fixes loneliness? What are those tips and remedies for addressing loneliness? Okay, so coming up, we're going to be discussing women's empowerment and kind of some comparisons between the Grammy Awards and recent award shows surrounding country music, which I was never a fan of country music growing up, but there's some reasons to just kind of consider it for a moment, and I'll tell you why. Joining me in just a little bit will be the royal and celebrity matchmaker Christina Pineda, always joining us with keen insights into love and romance, the dating world. In fact, dating is on an up and up, not just dating, but relationships. So we'll discuss that and whether or not personality types matter in dating and marriage. So stay tuned. We'll be discussing that shortly. But here's the deal. Carrie Underwood this past week ended up performing an incredible performance that I think that when we really think about it, is such an anomaly in comparison to what we saw a couple weeks ago at the 2021 Grammy Awards. I don't know about you. I don't even watch anymore. In part because I just can't go there. I grew up dancing my entire life. I love dancing. I love choreography. But that is not dancing. And that is not choreography. It is just, I'm sorry, like grinding the floor in one another in something I wouldn't even quite consider a bathing suit, but frightening. And then there's this powerful performance in juxtaposition. At the Academy of Country Music Awards, Carrie Underwood in this gorgeous dress, perfect, no, but gorgeous dress in comparison, if we're talking like about modesty and honoring our body in comparison to what we saw at the Grammy Awards. And there's this beautiful performance by her and others. Listen to this.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but
does Carrie Underwood sing Amazing Grace, but she's actually performing from her album titled My Savior, full of praise and worship, singing to the glory and honor of God. And Carrie Underwood is an anomaly. She has been married, remained married. She has two children with her husband, hockey player Mike Fisher. She's actually shared about her struggle with having gone through three miscarriages between her sons. She's also shared about how in the midst of that, she was angry and upset with God. And then here this woman is, even in the face of her own tragedies and sorrows, singing about God in a public, such a public environment. And it's really neat. If you haven't seen, there's kind of these little documentary dramas on YouTube called Mike and Carrie, God and Country. And they're episodes of Carrie Underwood and her husband, hockey player Mike Fisher, talking about their lives. And one of the most recent ones actually talks about how they pray with their kids and about how their little boy, Isaiah, I believe it is, how when they're praying with him, he actually looked at Carrie one day, Carrie Underwood, and he said something along the lines of like, you know, mommy, I'm supposed to love God more than I love you, mommy. And she was just talking about how blown away she was that her little boy said this. She was talking about how it's just a matter of fact that they talk about God in their house. It's an open and ongoing dialogue in their home. And even just the witness of Mike Fisher and how important praying with his son is. It's a reminder of how important passing on God is in our lives to those in the younger generation. Because without God, in what do we hold our hope? Do we have joy? We're actually going to be discussing, and just a little later, this challenge surrounding loneliness and how our society's broken as so many people are lonely. Perhaps you have kind of a solution. Maybe you struggled with loneliness before and there's something that helped you get over your own battle with loneliness. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. What was that one thing that transformed that sorrow that so many people are experiencing surrounding loneliness? Give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. So Carrie Underwood, again, here's this performance. Gorgeous. I'll have to post some photos on social media. We'll get that up right now because it's really neat to see. Here's this woman singing and praising God in such a public atmosphere. And I was never someone who loved country music growing up. In fact, I was kind of one of those naysayers who booed it. I was so upset when Carrie Underwood beat Bo Bice. It was Bo Bice, right? In American Idol. Yeah, Bo Bice. Yeah, Patrick. Oh my gosh, I loved Bo Bice. And then Carrie Underwood won. I'm like, really? Country music? Like, come on, America. Are we really comparing the two? But I do like Carrie Underwood now today. And I do have appreciation for country music. And here's one of the reasons why. And this isn't all country music. There tends to be more country music that sings of God, of family, of virtue, of friendship, of tragedy and growing from the tragedy. I think that country music has hit a chord with so many people where it actually touches on things that are really happening in people's lives and not just degrading people to pieces of meat. And country music is the most patriotic music that we have. I know, and Patrick, you're right. It is an acquired taste. I like particular stuff, but even, you know, some of the Country Fry, a little bit of Country Fry, Sweet Tea, all of these songs, I do enjoy and appreciate them now versus I think like 15 years ago, I would have been like, are you kidding me? You are ridiculous. Is this even considered music? But I think the reason why I appreciate it is because it's happy. It's joyful. It's positive. Even if it's singing about something silly at times, come on. She thinks my tractor's sexy. And we gotta laugh even at this one. That's what's different, I think, often about country music. And I think that this is why there's that reality and this rawness where these country music stars are willing to sing about and discuss God, share the tragedies in their lives, and relate to you and I in a way that, I'm sorry, the Kardashians just don't relate. They may be fascinating to ponder and discuss and look at, but they're not real to us. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, do it now. If you don't want to subscribe to the podcast, you should. You should really think about it. Download a Relevant Radio app. Head over to relevantradio.com/trending. You'll listen to all of our shows here at Relevant Radio on demand. You don't have to miss an episode, and you can share them with your friends. Joining me now is Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City, and we're going to discuss relationships and how actually I mentioned earlier in the week how relationships are trending. According to dating app CEO of Hinge, we're actually going to see more long-term relationships, especially as we move into the summer. Christina, tell us a little bit more about this trend that's occurring surrounding relationships. Are you seeing this with some of your celebrity, royal, and us peasant clients?
You're not a peasant, Timory. Oh, you're so funny. It's so good to be back on. But yeah, it's true. I think that a lot of people through the lockdowns have done some soul searching, which is great, and have found that relationships are the most important thing. Even though we tend to fill our lives with work, and work can be great, but there's a void if you don't have someone to share it with, if you're called to that married life. So it definitely has made people focus on love when they may not have in the past. And now that we're starting to move into less lockdowns, which is great, people are meeting in person more frequently, and things are starting to progress more naturally into a relationship, whereas a lot of people in the past may have thought, oh, it's fine, it's the summer, let's break up. I want to break up. I want to be free for the summer. But now people, it's generally trending that they want to be in a relationship because of this, I guess, societal deep look into our souls. So I hope this is actually true, and I hope this is a good thing. However, there are some downsides to wanting to be in a relationship, because you need to ask yourself, are you wanting a relationship for the right reasons, or are you just idolizing marriage and children and idolizing being in a relationship? So for anyone who's in that point of, I really want to be in a relationship, I didn't want to in the past, that's great. But don't make it that I want to get married and it has to happen in this amount of time, and because you're just going to put pressure on your relationship. Let things evolve naturally, work towards it. But I don't want you to focus on just getting that title. You want to make sure you're in it for the right reasons, as they say on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Right. You know, and Christina, here's one of the things that when I saw this news about long-term relationships being a thing, especially because of COVID, people are discovering that they want closer relationships, but really that they want companionship. I thought, ooh, that's a little concerning if people are overemphasizing companionship as kind of the end-all be-all of a relationship, rather than marriage, family, and understanding the long-term, rather than kind of almost taking advantage of having someone there. And it almost not only idolizes them, but it really does almost demean and use a person as well.
That's very true. And that's why you were mentioning loneliness in the beginning of the program, which I think is a good thing for everyone to examine. That let me look at why I'm lonely. What does loneliness mean to me? And am I just trying to fill a void by getting into a relationship? That actually that void should be filled with the Lord and getting into a deeper relationship with Him? Or am I building my relationship with the Lord and I feel like He's calling me more and more to join with someone and to date and figure out if I am going to be getting married? So loneliness can propel us into good things, but it also can be a catalyst for something that may not be, you may be just trying to fill something in your life that no human being can fill, instead of focusing on your relationship with the Lord. So I think loneliness if used correctly, can bring us into healthy relationships. But if used incorrectly, can bring us into unhealthy relationships where there could be abuse, there could be idolizing that person, like I mentioned before, not even just the state of marriage, but idolizing that person as everything he says or she says is right, and I'm going to let go of all of my morals and stop going to church because this person is going to make me fully happy. And that never happens. And there are a lot of people who I coach who have tried it, and they live to tell the truth that, nope, that never worked for me.
You know, as you're talking, I'm also pondering, there's so many relationships that go on and on and on for years on end. I mean, you should know within, honestly, a year, a couple years, if you're interested in marrying a person. You know, it's different as we're dating younger and people are going through college. But even then, you should know yourself well enough during those years to know if this is someone that you are actually interested in marrying. You should start to have a plan. But do you think this desire for companionship and relationship is part of the reason why people aren't moving forward into marriage? Because they just want a companion. They don't care about the idea of taking the next step.
Yeah, I know. That is a pitfall of this. And that's why it's so important to be really clear on where you stand with your faith and when you're dating, because you can meet people like that who just want a companion. And I'm thinking of a story that one of our bachelorettes told me a few years ago, where she was talking to a boyfriend at the time, and she asked him if he believed in soulmates. And we had this, Tamara and I had this conversation last week, so you'll have, or 2 weeks ago, you'll have to listen to that. But she really believed in that. And he said, oh, it's, you know, soulmates, I don't believe in that. I think that wherever you are, you can meet people who you like. And it just made her feel like trash, that if he was in another city, that he would be with someone else, and it didn't matter. She wasn't special to him. And even though I'm not a huge proponent of the whole soulmate thing, because I think there can be it can be problematic if not understood correctly. But with, you want to be with someone who you're special to, not just a companion. If you want a companion, get a dog. Okay. Mm-hmm. Get a cat. That's someone you can cuddle with. I actually recommend that young women get dogs, because I know it's just so hard, because when you're a single woman, sometimes you just want to cuddle, and dogs are the best for cuddling, not guys who you're dating.
Did you see it 5 years ago where people would actually run businesses where you could come and cuddle with them? I don't know, is it called like canoodling or something? I need to find this, because I talked about it on Trending a while back, and it's creepy, but like you could actually go to someone's house and they would literally just cuddle you. And it's a sign that people are starved for companionship, for physical touch. And, you know, we'll come back to that again here on Trending soon. I'm going to have to find some of this audio and play it one of these days. But let's talk about this attitude that I'm sure you have to address with your clients. Just joining us now is Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City. She's a celebrity and royal matchmaker. And here's the deal. How do you help your clients shift from the attitude of just being in a relationship to actually moving to commitment and marriage and understanding this is for life?
Yeah, that's a hard shift to make. But I think a lot of times our clients will come to us because they know that that is the goal. And they've seen the relationships that don't work, the ones that end up in divorce court. And we've seen so much of that in 2020. The divorce courts are backed up, Timory. I may have talked to you about this a little bit before, but I meet with people every day and I hear this. And if they're separated or going through a divorce, they tell me that it's taking a really long time because there's so many people who weren't in the relationship for the right reasons. And then it came to a crash when they had to spend so much time with each other and they didn't have their faith to support and the Lord in the center of the relationship to support the marriage. So we have to know that every relationship is a threefold braid with the Lord at the center. If you have two strings, that braid will not stay together. If you have the third, the braid will, and it makes a braid. So when we talk about relationships, a key component of a marriage and moving towards that is this is God's plan for us. And unless we understand that and open ourselves to that fact, then yeah, what is to prevent a couple from getting a divorce? There's, yeah, if you're just living a secular life and then maybe things aren't working out great, there's everyone's getting emotional, someone's getting emotional, someone has to deal with something with a therapist, the therapist saying, oh, it's not good for you to be in this relationship. It's sometimes the therapists who are very well, maybe well-meaning for their clients, they may not have the right understanding of marriage. And so that's why for our members, they may have gone through that in the past or have seen it happen in the past or be the product of divorced families and see the problems that arise when this happens. And they come to us and they know, I'm ready. I know this is not going to be an easy journey. I know that these are the successful people who come to us, but I'm excited. I'm going to approach every new person I meet with grace and with love and with joy and see where this leads. And this is the, and leading to, but with the goal of getting married and having a lifelong marriage with the person. So that is, thankfully, half of the battle is already fought before they come to us, usually. But if we have to work
with
them,
they're willing to make this step.
Yeah, they are. Because
okay, so then with that in mind, cold feet is something that a lot of people struggle with. They're willing to make the leap of they want more, but then they're nervous. So how do we address cold feet in relationships, whether it's ourselves or the opposite person?
Right. And cold feet, and now I've seen so many weddings starting to get planned for the summer and for the spring. So this is a real thing that's happening. And I hear people will come to me and say, oh gosh, I thought I was so ready. And then now I started to think, oh my God, I'm spending the rest of my life with this person. It's getting all too real. And what I say is it is totally normal to feel nervous and anticipation and trepidation before entering into a marriage, especially if you are a type A person or someone who's really thoughtful or a melancholic personality, which we'll talk about later. But those are the deep thinkers who rethink, overthink, overanalyze. Those are the people typically who are having the cold feet, I must say. And the first step is to understand your personality and who you are, and that is something that may be a struggle for you of making a decision and sticking with it. But the second step is remembering all the times and all of the confirmation that the Lord has given you about this relationship and moving forward.
That's Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City. We'll be back to discuss whether or not personality types matter when dating. Also, what fix loneliness. And really, Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, whatever you call him, he's running for governor in California? Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bruce Jenner, also known as Caitlyn Jenner, Olympic gold medalist. We could say a lot about Bruce Jenner and his past from being connected to the Kardashians, but now, governor? I'll talk about that in just a little bit. Join me if you'd like to share your thoughts, California. What do you think? Do you want Bruce Jenner as your new governor? Number's 1-888-914-9149. Coming up, we're going to discuss what fixes, what treats loneliness. Why is loneliness so prominent today? You're listening to Trending with Timory. Joining me is matchmaker Christina Pineda. And Christina, we have on the line right now a caller sharing about loneliness. Josh in California, what do you do to battle loneliness?
Well, I've been lonely for about 41 years. I'm still single, not married, not dating. And I noticed that for me, dealing with loneliness has been such a great struggle. I've even gone into situations where I would even kind of like deny the aspects of my faith and try to, I guess, quote unquote, do what everybody else does and not worry about chastity or doing, you know, doing right by the other person, respecting their body. And I think it's only led me into more misery by abusing, not respecting others, not respecting myself. And it's just even compounded on the loneliness. And it wasn't until I did a consecration to Mary through St. Louis de Montfort and made an effort to pray the rosary daily and go to the sacraments, especially confession, especially the Eucharist, and have Eucharistic adoration. That's what has helped me to kind of combat that loneliness, you know?
Consecration to St. Joseph, to the Blessed Virgin Mary, they're so profound. It's fascinating, Josh, because before you called, we had another caller, Father Mike from St. Norbert Abbey, who wasn't able to stay on the line, but he said exactly what you said. What helps with loneliness is consecration to Mary and St. Joseph. To know that we have companions on the journey. The communion of saints. These people are so personal to us when we read about them, when we pray with them, asking their intercession, just as I would ask a friend to pray with me, to sit with me. You know, these are such important things that our Catholic faith brings, and why Catholicism helps prevent loneliness, in fact. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Christina, let's talk a little bit about moving into relationships. I think sometimes one of the challenges with regard to relationships has to do with personality types, introverts, extroverts. So does your personality type and temperament matter when you're dating someone?
I think so. And the more I've been matchmaking and the more I've gotten to know people, the more I think it is important. And I don't want people to pigeonhole others into a one personality type or two. But I think it's good to know, to learn about yourself and to learn about the other person, how they typically react to things. And there are so many different personality tests that you can do. There's the Myers-Briggs, there's the four temperaments that you can look at. There's just a lot of we're so complex as people that that's why there are so many personality tests. But I think that the more you can understand about yourself and the way you react to situations is helpful, and you can learn what your strengths and weaknesses are. You can learn what your typical vices and virtues, your can be. And then you learn that about someone else. And then you can, in your relationship, be able to come up with a plan for conflict resolution and a way of working together to help balance out each other's weaknesses and strengths. And then, so that's, I think, helpful. If you're married, it's good to learn about these things, but also we're not explained by one type or one label. We're much more deep than that. If you're dating, I think it's helpful to know about the other person and to know about you, because I've seen just a story that I wanted to share was a couple. I'm date coaching the Bachelor and the Bachelorette separately, actually, but they were dating and they had a really passionate beginning of the relationship, and they were both a similar personality. They both were a mix of choleric and melancholic. And choleric, if you don't know that, that's more the someone who's a leader type A, reacting quickly, and intense person. And then the melancholic is a very thoughtful person and someone who really thinks deeply about things. Like I mentioned before, that they can be the person to overthink things, overanalyze, get the cold feet. So these people both had that pairing of personality types, tons of passion in the beginning, just couldn't couldn't stop hanging out with each other. And we just, there was a huge fire of their, of flame of their relationship. Even being around them, it was a little uncomfortable because they just were so into each other. And I was, and you kind of think, oh wow, they seem perfect for each other. But then as the longevity continued, they started to, that intensity ended up backfiring and it ended up triggering each other rather than helping to build each other up. And I have seen couples be able to work through that. It is difficult, but they have. But then this couple didn't end up remaining together because it was just too intense for them. So often you hear the phrase that opposites attract. And I think that goes along with personality, that someone who has more of that melancholic, choleric pairing would be great with more of a phlegmatic, sanguine personality type because they balance each other out. Yes, there will still be a lot of areas where you miss each other because you won't be as similar as the two who know each other, who know what each other's, if your personality is the same. So there, no personality pairing is perfect. But they actually, in the couple-to-couple league's engagement encounter that Dan and I did before we got married, they have you take a personality test. And that was really helpful to figuring out some of our blind spots. So I would recommend for everyone to look into that and to do that and to not cut off someone because you know that they may be a similar personality, but let that be something that you're considering as you're discerning that person for marriage.
One thing I do know, so I am, if you want to do the temperaments quiz, by the way, it's put together by Catholics. We'll post a link now on social media. There's sanguine, melancholic, choleric, and phlegmatic. And I'm melancholic, choleric. So I have that like visionary goal drive as well as with like the leader within. But then like the bad habits, because there are plenty of them, include things such as like self-criticism, criticism of others, judgmentalism, being demanding and nitpicking. My poor husband, but he's also melancholic, choleric. He might have a little more choleric, though, on the leader side. But here's what I do know, Christina. I could never marry a sanguine. Just the outgoingness. And some people may think that I'm like that super outgoing, talkative person because I do this radio. I'm very quiet. I remember kind of being concerned because there would be a lot of silence in our house when we first got married. I'm like, you're okay that I'm not talking, right? You know, we just have some down, quiet times. Like, oh yeah, perfectly fine with me. Versus if he was, you know, a loudmouth around the house just going off, oh my gosh. I have a hard time being friends with these people. They stress me out.
Wow. I didn't know what your pairing was. I think mine is melancholic choleric as well. And we get along really well. So it's interesting to see who gets along with who based on this for friendships as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is actually something really fun to do. If you're in a work environment, you have a team you work with, find out what the temperaments are of your team. That's something that we've done as a team. And actually, as we were discussing today, I was reminding myself who everyone was. You know, Karen keeping us in line, Lucas keeping us peaceful and loving and moving along and harmonious. You know, actually, I don't think we know what Patrick's is. I don't know. We need to find that out. I don't think you ever took the quiz. So check it out. We're going to post it in the links to the show. And you can find it on social media now. Just head over to relevantradio.com/trending. Christina, do you assess your clients when they come in for the personality test? And does this usually help your client to better understand themselves?
Well, we do hour-long, we call it the BMI, the best match interview. We don't actually take their body mass index.
Come on, let's just put that up there too now.
And we do, it's a one-on-one with one of the matchmakers. And we have these questions that we've honed throughout the years of having our company that we've seen are the best predictors of who is going to get along with each other. And there are some things that you would never guess that would be on our what we do. So, and it is a mixture of a lot of personality tests, I would say, and taking the best of the best. But after they do the interview, then we come together as a team and we do a personality assessment on that person. also they have ideas. Everyone has ideas of a personality that they typically get along with. And we see throughout the years if that's worked for them or if that hasn't worked for them. And then we start having ideas of matches from that standpoint. And we do, a lot of men, I would say, actually have personality down pat of what they're looking for. And they're even more clear than sometimes the women who come to us what they're looking for, because typically if the man's a quieter guy, he'll always say, I want an outgoing woman. And we see when they're going on matches, they need someone who has that fire, has that passion, has that spark that really balances them out. And it makes sense. So that is something we do really take into consideration when we're matchmaking. It's not just about putting two good looking people together. It's so much more than that. And our matchmakers are trained in all the personality assessments, and we have our own hybrid that we do, but it's not just about numbers and who gets this and who gets that. It's us looking at everything as humans and as matchmakers and seeing the person as a whole and seeing the kinds of people who would be a good fit for that individual.
That's Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. We'll be back talking about Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, really running for California governor, going up against Gavin Newsom. What is happening? This is like a reality TV show. I'll be right back here on Trending.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Here he comes. He or she, I don't know. No, we do know. We do know. We need to not follow this trail. If this happens, if Caitlyn Jenner becomes the new governor, do you call him Bruce? Do you call him Caitlyn? Coming up, I'll discuss that in just a little bit. I was reading this article from CatholicMan.com. A broken society explains why people are so lonely. And I found it fascinating. He started by discussing a friend of his who was a doctor and how the most common ailment people were struggling with wasn't actually any type of sickness. It was loneliness. They just wanted someone to talk to. Now, this was fascinating to me because if you don't know, I'm also a Pilates trainer. I've worked a lot with one-on-one with everyone from athletes to people who have had hip replacements, back herniated discs, you name it, to teaching fitness classes. And I worked a lot with private clients. I loved working one-on-one, personalizing things to address injuries, to address surgeries, posture. And here's what fascinated me. I would have clients that I work with who we radically disagreed with on things in the world. And in fact, I remember one day I was told I was getting this new client and she comes walking in the door. And this is someone who was very vocal when she would be taking a class about all of her opinions on everything. And she comes walking in the door. I had no idea that this was my new private client. Someone I was going to be working with a few times a week. And I remember looking at the owner of the studio and I went, no, you've got to be kidding me. You did not just do this to me. And so I'm going, what am I going to talk to her about? How is this going to go? And lo and behold, she has become one of my favorite people to work with over the years. And here's the deal. This is someone like so many others. Not only does she want to work on the fitness of her body, but she was starving for relationship. Even in the face of being on completely different spectrums of so many ideas. I remember one day, a couple of days into teaching her, she looks at me and she goes, are you Catholic? I said, yes. She said, are you one of those good Catholic girls? Yes. Like, I'm almost shrinking as she's talking to me. Like, oh no, how is this going to go? And yet I found out, she's a cradle Catholic and grew up Catholic. Ended up leaving the church. And yet, here's this person who at the end of the day had been battling loneliness and was so appreciative to have someone who spoke to her. Someone who gave her personalized attention and personal interaction. And this is what doctors are seeing day in and day out. And this is what I've seen with so many of my clients. We're parched for not just conversation, but we're parched for people who actually do care about us. And this is where it's a reminder for all of us as Catholics in the world that we're called to love the people we work with, even those who we disagree with, even those who get on our nerves. I remember a story about St. Thérèse of Lisieux and how one of the nuns after St. Thérèse died would go on and on about how St. Thérèse just loved her, that she was St. Thérèse's favorite person. And it actually was that St. Thérèse had written about her, and she couldn't stand this person. She drove her crazy, but she was always intentional about being kind and loving and generous and patient. So much so that this other person had no clue that St. Thérèse couldn't stand her. I really hope the people I can't stand that get on my nerves feel this way, because I think I have a long ways to go on this one. But here's the deal. In this article by John Harvey at CatholicMan.com, he pinpointed two problems with regard to loneliness in society. One, broken social relationships, and two, the lost practice of virtue. We are so hungry, not just to be companions with someone, not just to have someone to sit with, but someone to have deep and profound relationships with. I would go so far as to say people who we can have a mission with. In fact, Aristotle, philosopher before the time of Christ, talked about three types of friendship: the friendship of utility, the friendship of pleasure, and the friendship of virtue. And he talked about how the first two types of friendship would be where the basis of that friendship was based on how someone was useful for you, or how they're pleasurable. And when the usefulness or pleasure went away, you really didn't put anything into the friendship, or perhaps vice versa, if that was the basis for them. But in a friendship of virtue, you needed a common mission. In fact, St. John Chrysostom speaks of this as well in marriage, and Aristotle makes reference to how it's actually marriage. We have very few of these very close relationships, and marriage is one of them. But, you know, we can't take multiple people and go very, very deep in these relationships. You usually only have time for a few. But when we do have profound relationships, when we do engage, we have to work on going to a deeper level. Beyond the surface. Yes, we can do activities together, our favorite things, from hiking and crafts and sports, even going to church together. But if we're not dialoguing, if we're not challenging each other, calling one another into our mission, something's missing. And I think so many friendships are standing stagnant today. They're not going anywhere. And it's because we are so afraid of, I think, hurting people's feelings, of disagreement, and which is ironic because as we disagree with everyone, we also are afraid of disagreeing with everyone. And so some things we can work on is, one, if you're struggling with loneliness, put yourself in the environment to be around people who care about things. Virtual life has been a bust. We know this. Social sciences are clear. We need face-to-face time. And I'm not talking FaceTime. Although that's a great means of connecting, we need physical contact and interaction with people. We have to work on overcoming a war type of culture, because we are in a cultural war today, where we can't agree with anyone, yet we're afraid to disagree with anyone at the same time. Only one opinion matters. We have to stop identifying ourselves too intensely by a polarizing perspective and work on being personal, personable. People shouldn't have to run to a doctor, a Pilates trainer, a psychologist, a therapist in order to have a personal and personalized interaction with someone. Sometimes it's a matter of just paying attention to what's going on in the other person's life. Asking the simple questions that matter. getting back to our roots and what we're called to as human beings, to be a gift to others, to be humble, thoughtful, and merciful. I think mercy is something we can do a lot better at in relationships. You know, as we've been facing the trials of the last week here in the United States, and as we're seeing all these stories about shootings and people are becoming upset and polarizing one against another, mercy is important in order to build bridges to move forward, to overcome our own pain that we ourselves have experienced. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri here on Relevant Radio. So the news is, this isn't a joke. Bruce Jenner, also known as Caitlyn Jenner, who a number of years ago, has it been like 6 years? Was it 2015, I think? Bruce Jenner, an Olympian, gold medalist, formerly married into the Kardashian family. Well, he came out as transgender. But here's what's fascinating about Bruce Jenner. So he's announced he's going to run for California governor against Gavin Newsom. And do you know this? Bruce, Caitlyn Jenner, whatever you call him, he's a Republican, and although he's transgender, he actually hasn't really spoken up about any of the transgender issues of late, and the LGBTQ community, in fact, can't stand him. Because he's admitted at times that going through this sex change, because he's gone through both top and bottom surgery, hasn't made him happier. I actually have friends who know him personally, and they made it very clear, they've known him before and after the change, and he's struggling. He's struggling with his identity, just like the kids today who are struggling with this transgenderism. They're not struggling with whether or not they're boys or girls, they're struggling with what matters in the world. They're struggling with what it means to be human. They're struggling with relationships. They're struggling with purpose in life. And isn't it sad that his own so-called community, the LGBTQ community, has actually canceled him? They do not want him to be governor. And I'm not saying I want him to be governor either. I don't think that he will become California's governor, but I don't know. California is known as the land of the fruits and the nuts, so who knows what will happen in California. It's truly a reality TV show. I said this earlier. Kris Jenner must be so excited because she loves keeping her family in the news. She is a brilliant PR person. She plants stories about her daughters to continue to keep them front and center so that the family continue to make more money. And they've been successful. I don't know anyone who stops talking about the Kardashians. And so this is where it's so important as we're pondering kind of what's the future in political races, what's happening, that we don't just, we laugh at what's happening at times, but we also take it seriously. Who our president is, who our governor is, it matters. Our Catholic faith should always inform our voting, and we should always work toward candidates who are mentally sound. And this is what's scary, is that we have a lot of people today pushing forward candidates for various places in office to meet a quota based on someone being a transgender individual, based on someone being a woman, based on someone being of a different nationality. Don't fall prey to that. Fall prey to the principles of truth, to the principles of honesty, the principles of upholding freedom, religious liberty, marriage. Don't become distracted by laughing stocks. Don't become distracted in a world where distraction is so prevalent that it's preventing us from getting things done, including who will be a president, who will be a governor, who will be my kid's teacher. There's so many things that matter today, but sometimes when we just follow the trends and the stories that are happening day to day, it prevents us from ever making real progress. And it does contribute to this attitude of loneliness that we've been discussing. I imagine Bruce Jenner has really struggled with the isolation he's experienced from some of his own communities who don't want him. Imagine the challenges of divorces and separations in his lifetime have impacted him significantly. This is why we've talked about the issue of loneliness, because deep connection and relationships matter. A long-term study done by Harvard showed that what mattered after 70 years of following the same group of people from their younger years late into their lives was that friendships mattered most. Deep, connected interactions. But how do we build these in a culture where people have a hard time getting along? It's with the virtue, with honesty, with mercy, with the sacrament of reconciliation so that we ourselves can battle the sin in our own lives that's preventing us from growing in relationship with others as well. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. Coming up this Monday, we're going to be talking about the importance of laughter, especially in a world that's at war culturally. How can we laugh at what's happening? How can we laugh at the good things in life and bring a greater sense of joy to our daily interactions? Take us with you on the go this weekend. Head over to relevantradio.com/trending. Subscribe to the podcast. Do not miss an episode from our marriage hour to our happy hour and so much more.